Countess Felicia Gazzicca. Felicia wrote the second edition big book story, Stars Don't Fall. New York City. Her story appears on page 401 in the second edition and on page 400 in the third edition of the Big Books of Alcoholics Anonymous. Felicia entered AA in 1943, but had several relapses her first year. Her date of sobriety was 1944. She was probably the sixth woman to get sober in New York. Marty Mann, Women Suffer Too, was her sponsor. Bill Wilson called Marty and said, "I have a dame down here whose name I can't pronounce. I don't even know what to do with her." Felicia was born in 1905 in the family castle in Europe, the daughter of Count Joseph Gazzicca and Eleanor Middle, Sissy Patterson, editor of the Washington Times. Sissy was a cousin of Robert McCormick of the Chicago Tribune. Her mother brought Felicia to America as an infant, and she never saw her father again. Felicia believed her alcoholic problem began long before she drank. Her personality from the time she could remember anything was the perfect setup for an alcoholic career. She was always out of step with the world, her family, with people in general. She lived in a dream world. Until her early 30s, when her drinking became a problem, she lived in large houses with servants and all the luxuries that she could possibly want, but she never felt she belonged. Felicia was married three times, first to Drew Pearson in 1925, the newspaper man she mentions on page 402. She divorced him 3 years later. She met him again when she had been sober 10 years, and he told her he had always felt guilty because she became an alcoholic after their divorce. She was able to explain that she would have become an alcoholic anyway, that she had been a sick person, unfit for marriage. She married Dudley D. Levine in 1934, the husband mentioned on page 493, but was again divorced in less than a year. Her third husband was John Kennedy Magruder, whom she married in 1958 and divorced in 1964. Through each of her marriages and through several geographic cures in Europe, her drinking caused more and more degradation. By 1943, she had moved to New York and was living a bohemian life in the village. Felicia sunk lower and lower, but eventually had the good fortune to find a new analyst, Dr. Ruth Fox. Dr. Fox told her about AA and finally encouraged her to go to the AA Foundation office and talk to Bill Wilson. Bill arranged for her to meet Marty Mann. The woman who answered the door at Marty's apartment, page 413, was Marty's longtime companion, Priscilla Peck, a very glamorous art director at Vogue magazine. Felicia speaks of Priscilla on page 414. It was Marty and Priscilla who took her to her first meeting. She was a talented writer and, with Marty and Priscilla, helped start the AA grapevine. Felicia had sunk low, but had not lost everything, and was one of the reasons they started to talk about high bottom drunks. She wrote an update of her story for the November 1967 grapevine. It was signed F.M., New Canaan, Connecticut. In it, she said she was disappointed to learn that her story would be in the section labeled They Stopped in Time. She thought she had sunk pretty low. Felicia died on February 26, 1999, at the age of 92, a few months after giving an extensive interview about her friend Marty Mann to Marty's biographers. The March 1985 AA Grapevine, page 12 to 13, featured the following story, apparently by Felicia Gazzicca Magruder, Alcoholics Anonymous author of Stars Don't Fall and the second and third editions. The lady and the bum followed her AA Grapevine article over 17 previously in the November 1967 issue, at last no longer apart. AA Grapevine, March 1985. The Lady and the Bum. The only difference was AA. Not long ago, I went into New York from the suburb where I lived to do some shopping and then meet an AA friend for dinner. I shopped too long and walked too far, carrying packages. There was I, just after my 78th birthday, feeling depressed and sorry for myself. So many of my friends in New York had died or moved away. It was about an hour before my early dinner date. I was a poor, elderly orphan with no place to go. Where could I go and sit down? I found myself saying, God help me. My lips moved. People will see you talking to yourself, I thought. They'll think you're senile. So now I prayed silently, God, help me not to feel this way. And then I saw this little coffee shop on 58th Street. I went in gratefully to sit down at a table, dump my packages, and order a cup of coffee. You have to sit at the counter, the waitress said. I'm so tired, and I have all these packages. It's a $3 cover charge. I don't care, I said. As soon as she'd served me, a poor, ragged, dirty, unshaven man came up to me and asked me for a dollar. I need it for food, he said. The manager, who was standing in back of the counter, shook his head. Then he said, Go on, get out of here. The man's hands were shaking. Please, quick, he begged me, quick, just a dollar. The manager said, Lady, don't give it to him. He's just a bum. He'll spend it on booze. Of course he will, I said. He needs a drink. He has to have one. I whipped out a dollar and the man snatched it, said thanks, and fled. What'd you go doing that for? The manager wanted to know. Now we'll have a bunch of them in here. I know what it is to be desperate for a drink, I told him. I'm an arrested alcoholic. The only difference between that man and me is that I've stopped drinking. If I had one drink, I'd go on and get drunk and be just like him. And I suppose you'd look like him? Come on, lady. You're a nice lady. Well, quite a few years ago, I was anything but. You've got to be kidding, said the manager, who then turned away to wait on customers. But it's true, of course. I was never as filthy as that poor man, but the difference between us was purely economic. I did not hit Skid Row. But if I'd been broke, I would have. Thank God I found AA and a wonderful sponsor. I've been sober and going to meetings for a good many years. I keep working the 12 steps. I try to help others. As I sat there resting and drinking my coffee, I thought of the time I'd pace back and forth in front of a bar opposite Grand Central Station. I was hoping desperately that it would open before I had to catch my train. It was just a few minutes before opening time. Could I run there? Gulp a quick one, and run for my train? But the bar did not open on time. I shook like a leaf all the way to my suburban destination. The kind friends who met me at the station had to wait while I went and got a drink. Now a young woman came up to my table and stood there smiling. She said, That was very nice of you, giving that man a dollar. Well, he needed a drink, I said. Yes, I know, she said. I heard what you told the manager. She patted my arm. I began feeling good. Why, here I was, sober, solvent, happy, and healthy, with work I enjoy and lots of people left whom I love. Of course I miss my friends who have gone, but perhaps I'll see them again someday. I felt even better when the waitress handed me my check, which was for 60 cents. I can't charge you $3. When you gave that poor fellow a dollar, she said. FM, New Canaan, Connecticut.